WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When Elvis Costello showed up for our interview back in February of this year, we were surprised to see he brought his guitar. Coming up, Elvis Costello sings and talks about his career. It's part of our end-of-the-decade Fresh Air Archive series. Elvis Costello's first record, My Aim Is True, came out in 1977. It was one of the most influential new wave records, stripping away the pretentiousness in rock and getting back to basics. In the 80s, Costello deepened his reputation as one of rock's best songwriters. He told me he started playing guitar when he was around 14. I asked him what kind of music he was playing.
From the start, I wrote my own songs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I learned a few chords. I learned like a couple of songs just off the radio. And then once I realized the trick of it, I just went back through all my favorite songs. I learned Beatles songs, I learned like folk songs. Not so much traditional songs, I never much cared for them actually. But then I went and played in folk clubs, and I actually, for ages, for about 3 years, I never played anybody else's songs. I always played my own. I mean, I dread to think what they might be like now. You know, oh, you know, that girl in the class, she won't speak to me. You know, so like,
well, you, when you started to perform, your manager gave you the name of Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
Elvis from Elvis Presley, Costello from your mother's maiden name.
No, it's my great-grandmother, actually.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay.
You see all these things, they get like changed slightly and then it gets passed on, you know?
Well, I remember being in England in 1977 and looking at looking at one of the magazines and seeing that great picture of you, like the one that was on the album cover of My Aim Is True, with you in the name Elvis Costello in a kind of Buddy Holly-ish pose. And it was such a striking photo. I knew I had to go hear you. And I think that's... a lot of people felt that way, even just by the photograph, that there was something happening here that was kind of interesting. Who was responsible for that pose, and how did you feel about it?
It was just a coincidence, you know. Mm-hmm. This is the happy thing about it. If it had been amazingly contrived, I think it would have been hard to sustain. And obviously, beyond a certain point, I don't want to be pegged as the same person as I was at 22. The way anybody wouldn't want to, you know, be constantly reminded of something. But when I first started, I remember doing that photo session. I had two jackets at this point. That's all I had, two jackets. You know, I was trying them on, and we did some shots with this tweed jacket, and that, even considering I was wearing horn rims, that seemed a little bit too serious. So I put on this other jacket, it was kind of a mohair jacket, and I said, we're happening now, and I had my electric guitar, which we didn't have plugged in, so that immediately makes it kind of comical. I think all I remember is the photographer Keith Morris and my manager, both of them guzzling bottles of cider, which was our chosen drink because it was very cheap, sort of all going, go on, throw the funny legs, you know, do some of those rock and roll, kind of as a send-up of that, you know.
Yeah.
So contrary to the image of the intense, sort of furious young man that's often written about in such romantic terms by rock critics, we were having a joke at the expense of all that imagery. And people fail to see the gag, you know, obviously, because you're frozen there for a moment, and it came to represent something else, because the music obviously wasn't humorous like that. It was aggressive, you know, so there's a curious little inside story, you know.
Right from the start, there was something really different about the songs that you were writing and the lyrics you were writing, and I think back to one of your early songs, like Mystery Dance. There's a long history in rhythm and blues and rock and roll of people writing songs bragging about their sexual prowess, and then you come up with a song about someone who doesn't know how to do it.
Well, you know, I think there should be. I'm still doing this, fulfilling this role as I see it. You know, I'm not do it. You can't do it too consciously because it's like being contrary. You know, but I do think there should be songs to sing for the people, you know, that don't have a voice. You know, there's plenty of songs that represent the other people. So once in a while, it's so easy to fall into the pattern. I thought, it isn't like saying, well, that's really me all the time. In the same way now, you know, you might sing a song that might express one point of view, which you're moved to write about that. Now, other people might say, well, you know, what does that mean to do that? You know, say a song from the new record called Let Him Dangle is about this famous hanging case that went on in 1952. It's a story I've known most of my life. Some people go, well, why do you write that? You know, because it's not going to change anybody's mind. Anybody that really believes in capital punishment really believes in it, and you're not going to sway them with the song. But I feel there should be songs to sing for the people who do think my way about it, that it's wrong. And it shouldn't just be down to arguments. There should be songs, there should be poems, there should be paintings, There should be whatever, you know, whatever ways we can express our feelings about it. They all go together. They all mean something in the long run. It's on a scale with these other people who, you know, a lot of the time are arguing for the sake of political gain and not really for what they believe, you know.
My guest is Elvis Costello, and you've brought a guitar with you. Would it be okay for me to ask you to sing a song?
Sure, sure. I'll get out this this guitar here. I'll sing this song I wrote in Greenland. Can I sing a song I wrote?
Sure, yeah.
This is a first on public radio. Here we go. Song written in Greenland, 500 miles above the Arctic Circle, in a place called Uummannaq. I was on holiday up there. And, you know, all they have up there is huskies and big blue icebergs and the few surviving large mammals in the sea, you know. And, you know, when they tell children that the Santa Claus lives at the North Pole, you know, I started to think maybe God lived at the North Pole. When you look down the world at what we laughingly call civilization, these thoughts came to mind, and I made up this little story about this comedian who dies and goes to heaven and has to face his maker. Now, of course, he's made a career out of playing a drunk on stage. Do you remember those drunk acts they used to have?
Yep.
Only this guy plays a drunk priest. So, being as he's been making fun of God's mercenaries on Earth, he's more than a little nervous. I wish you'd known me when I was alive. I was a funny fella. The crowd would hoot and holler for more. I wore a drunk's red nose for applause. Oh yes, I was a comical priest with a joke for the flock and a hand up your fleece, drooling the drink and the lipstick and grease paint down the cardboard front of my dirty dog collar. Now I'm dead, now I'm dead, now I'm dead, now I'm dead, and I'm going on to meet my reward. I was scared, I was scared, I was scared, I was scared. He might have never heard God's comic. So there he was on a waterbed, drinking a cola of a mystery brand, reading an airport novelette, listening to Andrew Lloyd Webber's Requiem. He said before it had really begun, I prefer the one about my son. I've been wading through all of this unbelievable junk and wondering if I should have given the world to the monkeys. Now I'm dead, now I'm dead, now I'm dead, now I'm dead, and you're going on to meet your reward. Are you scared? Are you scared? Are you scared? Are you scared? He might have never heard that God's comic. I'm gonna take a little trip down paradise's endless shores. Sitting here on the top of the world, I hang around in the darkest night until each beast has gone to bed, and then I say
God bless and put out the light. While you lie in the dark, afraid to breathe, and you beg and you promise, and you bargain and you plead. Sometimes you confuse me with Santa Claus. It's the big white beard, I suppose. I'm going up to the pole where you folks die of cold. I might be gone for a while if you need me. Now I'm dead, now I'm dead, now I'm dead, now I'm dead. And you're all going on to meet your reward. Are you scared? Are you scared? Are you scared? Are you scared? You might have never heard, but God's comic.
An excerpt from a performance and interview with Elvis Costello, recorded in the Fresh Air Studio last February.